Join Pastor George Izunwa on a journey of genuine God encounters through the Word of God. Through the teachings of Pastor George Izunwa, you will gain knowledge on how to triumph over challenges and transform them into testimonies. For more information and testimonies, contact us at 0702-5000-950 or 0702-5000-951. Experience the power of God's Word. Jesus exceeds expectations.
Now, today we are discussing much about business, about starting up something, about going higher. And I believe that many of you already are starting one small thing after another. And I believe, God, that small thing will become a big thing. Luke chapter 14, 28 to 30. It says, "For which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counted the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Less happily, after he had laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" So startup is not as important as what? Finishing. If you start and you can't finish, it ends in mockery, right? Now, I've told you again and again that we live in a dispensation where you don't wait for government to employ you. You don't wait for individuals to employ you. As you are coming out of school, if nobody employs you, you employ yourself. And many people ask me, "I don't have the money." You know, if you have the brain, the money will come. If you have the idea, one way or another, the money will come. And part of right thinking is thinking of how to bypass all the bottlenecks to your idea. Because there's always a way where there is no way. And I want you to think of how to get it done. But now many of you have started some things and you have gone to all kinds of trainings. I want to just throw on you today, very simply, on some questions for startups. If you have not answered these questions, the business you are investing in may fail. Because a lot of people are eager for you to give them money to start something. They don't know that businesses don't just happen. They are built. And they are built with wisdom, built with ideas. Anybody that tells you that pastoring is about luck is a lie. For you to pastor right, you must have wisdom and creativity. A poor man thinks that wealthy people are lucky. No, wealthy people are very, very articulate. If you see a man who didn't go to school and who is a multi-millionaire talking to you, sit down and listen to him more than a professor. That man is more intelligent than that PhD. It just like doesn't have a certificate. It may look like a joke, but many times a lot of people have education without wisdom. They just have paper and nothing is working. And you can't be one of them. Amen. So it's not luck that makes men. Listen, there's nothing you do on earth without an element of luck. There's an element of luck. But luck is maybe just about 3 or 5 or 7% of it. If you see a footballer, you find out that playing football, there's an element of luck in scoring a goal. But if you're based on luck, your team will be playing like, you'll be basing on luck. But I'm trusting the Lord, everybody here, your destiny will rise. Yeah. Let's start with a few questions. Number one is this: how prepared am I mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and financially for a successful business run? How prepared am I? That's the first question I wanted to ask. Many times I see a lot of young people who come to me, they say God called them and they want to start a ministry. And I always ask, are you prepared for this thing you want to begin? How prepared are you mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially to start what you are doing? Now, if you are going to start a business that will survive, you will ask yourself, how prepared am I to craft a vision and to write a business plan? If you are sitting down here now, you want to start anything you want to sell, even if it's akara or granite, and you can't write a business plan, and you can't craft a vision for that business, all you can achieve is survival. You will never achieve greatness. That young man that's starting a church who cannot cast a vision for ministry, who cannot draw a plan for ministry, all he will ever achieve is where two or three are gathered together. He will never build a mega ministry. Not because anointing is not there. It's because everything takes wisdom. True wisdom is the house builded. By understanding, it is established. Even if you're an illiterate pastor, you must have an understanding of how to craft a vision. how to draw a plan. So you have to ask her, how prepared am I? When we're talking about how prepared you are, how prepared are you to walk in faith and covenant obedience for your business to work? How prepared are you? So I'm a Christian. For God to bless me, I must walk in faith and walk in covenant obedience. How prepared am I to do it? How prepared am I to put up an action to my market plan? How prepared am I? So it's not just about I want to start a shoemaking factory. I want money to rent a shop. That's about survival. But from that shop, you can go to anywhere on earth. You can start a small kiosk and from there turn it to a mega money machine. But it's understanding of business that takes you there. That's why you need training. Somebody say training. So how prepared are you to begin business? How prepared are you to start a ministry? Are you prepared to handle see nothing days? Days of no money, days of no cash, days of nothing. Young pastors start and they come to my office and they say, Pastor, nothing is working. Nothing is working. And I ask them, how long have you been here? And why you are saying that? It's because your own work. No. When I started, I knew that I was prepared for it. I was in somebody's boy's quarter. I didn't have a house. I was living in somebody's boy's quarter. I started this knowing I'm going to tough. And I kept talking about mental toughness. From day one, I get back home. If there's no food, I go to bed. I won't die. By the next morning, I visit a brother and eat. I show up at the time food is being shared. You can't slap me. You have already brought food. You can't hide it. We work it together. You want to do, how prepared are you to make tough leadership decisions? I ask the people that say they want to start a church. How prepared are you to make tough leadership? It's not age. It is maturity. You can grow old without growing up. You can't add age without adding maturity. Make tough decisions. There are some people who say they want to get wedded. They can't make tough decisions. They don't know how life works. If you are not emotionally, spiritually, physically, mentally, financially prepared for any journey, you are not ready. Second point. What are the core principles and practices that undergird my life and business decisions? What are the core principles? What are the core practices that are underneath my life and my business? What are the principles I operate by? Only principled people become principal people. If you are sitting down here now, you don't know your principles. You don't know your values in life. You have no chance of making it in life. You will try, but you will fail. Every man that is going somewhere must be clear about his or her core values and principles. What are your principles? When Gateway started, I said to myself, I will not beg, I will not borrow. And if I wait for 6 months to 1 year and God didn't provide, I will stop the ministry and know that God didn't send me. I was serious about it. But God came through. The first place we used was given free of charge. The first generator free of charge. The first musical equipment free of charge. Everything came without asking because God saw my principle and decided to help me. I see him help you. Yeah. What are your principles? Am I talking to somebody here? What are your principles in relationship? What are your principles about managing money? What are your principles about business? That everything I do it on time. I don't make promises I don't keep. I will never make you a promise and say, come on Thursday for something I know will not happen on Thursday. No. Because you're going to put me under pressure. But other people, they say, sign here, they sign. I'm going to pay you. Have you met people who are owing people before they arrest them? They say, sign, you're going to pay so and so by so and so. They sign. What are your principles? How do you manage money? Gateway was starting. I was living in one-room boy's quarter. My brother came in from outside the country. In that one room, there were only two cane chairs with one small table in the center and a six spring bed. My books were on a cane something. My clothes was hanging on the wall. I had no TV. I had no fridge. The only fan I have, they use tie to keep it working. That's how my room was. He entered that room and saw me. And he sat down. And he said to me, you see, that he just came in. He designed the building, two-story building. He showed me the design. That this is the amount of money they told him this building will cost to build. I am in that one-room boy's quarter. He counted the amount of money fully that we take the building from foundation to finishing, that they gave him the estimate and gave me. As I know you are trustworthy. build this house and finish it. I don't know when I'm returning. Everything was, even the transport to go buy things, I paid from my pocket in order not to violate my vow. I am here today because there are decisions that determine destiny. All the games you are playing is what is bringing you down. You are not wiser than God. So before you get into business, what are the principles that will rule your business? I didn't tell myself, what nonsense. How can he come to this place and see me struggling and didn't give me anything? God would understand. He's not my source. Jesus is my source. What if I was looking at his pocket? I won't be where I am. I stretch my hand toward you. May God give you grace to live a life of principle. Every life is structured to produce certain results. So structure your life to produce certain the results. If you are somebody with a character flaw follows you into everything. Don't be a thief. Don't be a liar. Don't be a covetous person. Don't be somebody who plays these games. Nigerians call those things smart. Those are the things that hinder people. Don't play this game. Somebody gives you a job to do. You cannot keep the trust of anybody. You play like this, you play like this, you play like this. No. Anybody whose obsession is money doesn't get rich. Anybody whose obsession is service always makes money. People trust a man who has proven trustworthy. And they fear a man and walk away from him when they find out you are crooked. And it doesn't take long for people to find out you are crooked. You want to start a business, what are your principles? Don't be in church and carry the Nigerian mentality. Thinking that life is just like that, you know, just maneuver it, just steal from people, just do anything. I pray over you today. May my God give you a heart for the right things. It's the same principle. It works everywhere, even in your relationship. My yes is yes, my no is no. I will never say to a girl, I want to marry you if I've not decided. If it takes you 10 years, keep your mouth shut until you decide. And when you decide, decide and commit to it. You don't play games. Going to sleep with a girl just to play with her. And then promise you're going to marry her. And after that, you change your mind. It's a game. It's a game to you. It's loss for her. It's destiny hurt for her. The pain and the bitterness in her heart, she will use it to hurt you. And maybe you don't know that there are some Christian, in quote, girls that will be so hot in church, they will go for native doctor for you. They'll use witchcraft on you. They'll walk away from church because what you did has no church in it. Be very careful. Life is not as you see. The third point, number three. How much do I understand the business of this business, its terrain and its operations? Before you start a business, how much do I understand the business of this business? How much do I understand its terrain and its operations? You have to ask yourself the question. I want to do business. Do I understand the business of this business? If this man is selling akara and succeeding, and this man wants to sell akara, and looks at the akara he's selling and says it's easy, he has finished. There is nothing somebody is doing on earth that is easy. Every business has its tricks. If you don't know, you don't know. Success is not accidental. If this man wants to do what this man is doing, he must learn. He must understand the business of this business. There's a business to selling akara. There's a business inside the business. You see, when young people want to start ministry, they don't want a mentor. They just believe they're called. In fact, they even quarrel with their pastors and go and start their own ministry. After 2 years, they start looking for mentor. By the 40th, 50th year, they're looking for Father in the Lord. They didn't understand the business of the business. You see, gathering a crowd looks easy until you are the pastor. And then it dawns on you, human being, we deep, oh. Human being deep. You can even give a man money. He promises he's coming to church. You pay his transport. He work the money. You call him later, he tell you story. To gather people, now grace. I want to lift my hand over you. I declare over you today, may God give you wisdom to prepare well. Amen. Training and apprenticing matters. Things that look simple have very difficult sides. And you need to know the business terrain you're about to enter into and know how to handle it. How many of you know that any business you are starting, they are direct and indirect competitors? How did you prepare for them? How did you prepare to beat them? How did you prepare to handle them? Listen, anywhere you are and 20 people are doing the same business you are doing, there's a way with wisdom and creativity you can fight your way through. But you must be clear about your strategy. What are they doing? What are they not doing? How do I compete and win? And you compete and win. In the name that's above every name, that business must work.
Amen.
The fourth question, do I believe in this business's capacity for growth? And are financial projections in support of my belief? Do I believe in this business's capacity for growth? People come to the office. They say they want to start something. They want us to give them money to start something. And the question I ask is, do you believe in this business that it will grow? Hey, Pastor, it will grow. No, sir. If I gave you money to start something small, question is, do you see the capacity of this business to what? Grow. This thing that is starting with 150,000, 200,000, how long will it take to be able to feed you and to generate wealth and to be able to grow higher? You must see the capacity of it to grow. If you can't, don't start. You will sentence yourself to mediocrity and poverty. When somebody has no job, no career, nothing, his first thinking is survival. But you don't build a future based on survival. You build a future based on strategy for growth. If you start something now just to feed yourself, that thing must have a capacity for growth, or it's a stopgap measure. It's just something for this moment. After that, you change. For example, there's fuel scarcity and you are selling fuel. You know that selling fuel is not a business plan, because fuel scarcity will end. So what you are doing right now, what's the capacity for growth? Those are the things you consider when you are doing a business plan. So you don't start something that will never grow. And if you start something that will never grow and you marry based on that, you and your wife will die poor. So I'm starting to sell and repair phones and all of that. What's the dimension of growth? How do I take this thing to be something important? How do I go from repairing phones and selling phones to becoming a millionaire? What is my journey? It can happen for anybody, but you must have a journey. So that from day one, you target your mind toward where you are going. You know this is step one, this is step two, this is step three. That's how to plan for a future so you don't die in pain and shame and mediocrity. So you start selling phones by the roadside. You make 30,000, it looks like big money. You get a girlfriend, and then 20 goes. Only 10 is left for you. And then poverty begins. You don't know how to scale it up. You don't know how to take it higher. You have no idea where the business is going. So all you are doing is you get money, you feed, you pay house rent, you get money, you feed, you pay house rent. You try to get money to pay school fees of children. You go on, you take care of your wife and all of that. There is no plan in your agenda for anything big. All you do is stay in church praying that one destiny helper will locate you. No plan. This is why people are poor in church. It's not demon, no. It's lack of plan. When a person is struggling, his first thought is survival. But in the midst of planning for survival, you must plan a way of escaping poverty. So I start at this point, I get to this point, I get to this point. You must have a strategy. Without a strategy, you're not going far. So if I'm starting a hairdressing salon, question is, this hairdressing salon, where is it going? What is my objective? How am I taking this journey? What is my vision? In 10 years from today, how will this hairdressing salon look like? How many branches am I hoping for? What am I trying to achieve with this hairdressing salon? So that from day one, your mind has a journey. Most pastors that are careless, when big money enters their hand, they go buy a car. They travel abroad. They live big. They do some things. Any pastor that is serious, as that money comes in, they put in a special account and forget it. And then come down and plan on what it's meant for. Some raise money already knowing what is meant for. Some others, as the money comes, they know this is part of our plan. So as the year is going on, some things are coming up. This is where we are going to. We want to buy a land. We want to do a project. We want to do this. Some people will eat the money. They're hoping that one day God will send a special helper for them. That's not how we operate. So what is your plan for greatness? I want all of you to have a plan. So it's not just I'm starting something. Your mind must be enlarged. Going somewhere, I tell you another thing. You see, business is always about the future. Somebody say future. You can take advantage of temporary challenges, but your core thinking is about the future. So you must have a business plan. You must have clear, realistic financial projections. This is what I think this business will make. Realistic. And then you ask, can this thing sustain me financially? How do I scale it up from one level to another? How do I make this thing become something that can feed me tomorrow? How do I make it take me to where I'm going to tomorrow? And you begin to target that journey and begin to work on it. That's what it means to have a life plan. You have a plan for your life. You have a journey you are taking. How can you be here now? You're going to 30 and you don't have a plan for your life. And you sit down, just waking up, pray in the name of Jesus, whatever is attacking me, fire. And you finish under that, you sit down. No plan on how to take a journey. Satan will flog you until you wake up.
In today's fast-paced world, we all need contacts and mentors on social media for inspiration, motivation, and more. You can connect with Pastor George Izunwa on all his social media handles. Follow him on Facebook at Pastor George Izunwa, Instagram and Twitter at George Izunwa. Connect and let's take the journey of greatness together.